Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kale Teeter, Evan Basilek, and Sujit Mello, discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please see our website at azpodcast.com. Welcome to another episode of the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 72, being recorded on the 8th of April, 2015, with special guest Ganesh Srinivasan. I'm Sujit DeMello, and on Skype for Business with me, I have Kale Teeter, Evan Basilek, and our special guest. Now, before we give Ganesh a chance to introduce himself, I want to just get our listeners up to date on a couple of exciting news items that came out just today, in fact. And I guess it's not technically in the Azure space yet. I'm sure it will be supported in Azure at some point. And Ganesh, feel free to jump in here and correct me, but this new container technology in Hyper-V and the Nano server, is that just for on-premises right now, or is that also going to be in Azure?
It looks like it's going to be primarily announced for the next version of Windows, and it will at some point in time sooner or later make its way to Azure. So okay. I would expect to see it in Azure sooner than later.
Right. Okay. That's what that's.
I completely missed this. So I've been heads down in a service outage today. So what are the details here, Sujit?
So from what little I know, again, this just came out today, so it's all hot off the press here. But so there's two related announcements that came out. One is it's this Hyper-V container technology, I guess akin to the Docker, you know, exactly. The Docker containers, very similar right. to that, but being able to run it on a Hyper-V server, kind of, you know, with all the management that goes along with it. In other words, like a mini VM container. And then along with that, they've also created a mini version of Windows called the Nano Server, which is a very scaled-down version of Windows. And I was reading some of the specs, you know.
5%? Yeah. I just saw that.
I mean, wow. they've got the VHD size, memory size, and everything down so much. It's really meant like you could probably run hundreds of these, if not thousands, on one server. So that's sort of the goal, you know, for the DevOps scenarios and things like that. I'm sure we'll have, and Ganesh, maybe you can hook us up with somebody who's familiar with these technologies, and we'd love to get them on the show at some point.
Absolutely. We can follow up on that.
But Ganesh, thanks for joining us. You know, as a matter of fact, Evan, you had actually convinced Ganesh to be a guest on our show. So what?
Yeah, Ganesh and I go. We go way back. I was actually the original beta engineer on, I guess, Ganesh, you had kind of moved off of the Azure VPN about when you and I first met. You were mostly focused on ExpressRoute. Yeah. But so we've been hanging out together ever since on that. And it's been mostly fun times, right? There have been some painful times.
So. Okay.
We won't talk about the painful ones, but so Ganesh has been, you know, was really gracious to come on and kind of talk to us about hybrid connectivity in general. You know, ExpressRoute, which is obviously, you know, a big deal for us, as well as, you know, some of the things that he can talk about that are going on in the standard hybrid connectivity, right? Because hybrid's really important because not everybody wants to move everything to the cloud.
Right.
Right. They want to have some combination to the on-premises. So I mean, Ganesh, what, I guess you want to start with just kind of the hybrid in general and kind of what drove us to invest in this? And
well, I was going to give Ganesh a chance just to, you know, give us his current
role
at Microsoft and things like that. Sorry, we hadn't gotten
there. I got excited, right? I know.
So. I can see that.
Sure. So let me do a quick intro and I can get into hybrid. So my name is Ganesh Srinivasan. I'm a program manager in the Azure networking team. I've been with Azure for about 4 years now. So I've been with Azure since the very early days. My first service in Azure, my first V1 service in Azure was building virtual networks for Azure. This is a service that basically enables you to build a virtual private network in Azure, bring your own IP address space into the cloud, and create your own little dedicated network that's isolated from the rest of the customers in a multi-tenant environment. So once you have this island of a network, you want to look at ways to connect it to your premises so that this island looks like a branch office to your corporate network. And that's where hybrid connectivity comes in. And I spent the second phase of my time in Azure building various connectivity solutions. The first was, of course, packaged as part of virtual network, which was site-to-site VPN connectivity. And then we did point-to-site VPN connectivity. And for the last 2 years, and I've been working with Evan on this service called ExpressRoute, which basically enables customers to connect to Azure without having to go through the public internet. So these are three technologies that I've worked on or have been working on for the past few years. And we can touch upon each of those things as we talk about hybrid.
No, that sounds really exciting. As a matter of fact, you know, I don't know what it was. Hybrid was kind of like a niche, at least from my involvement with Azure over the last few years. It seemed like it was a very niche thing. And then all of a sudden, in the last few months, you know, with the advent of the new apps, right, the web apps service that we have, which seems to have hybrid built into it. And also, I was telling the guys last week, I did the certification for the architecture exam, and there was a whole lot of questions on hybrid connectivity there too. It seems to be really become very important all of a sudden. What's the reason for that burst of importance all of a sudden?
So in general, let's talk about what hybrid is so you get a context of why it's so important. So the hybrid has very many definitions, and even within Microsoft, if you talk to different people, you're going to get very different definitions of hybrid. The simplest form to look at hybrid is, you know, a case where you want to run an application, a line of business application, or some sort of a service, where the service is truly distributed between multiple environments, across multiple environments. It could be two offices, it could be between private cloud and a public cloud, or between public clouds. And, you know, the one common thing that's essential to make this happen is a strong connectivity solution, a secure, reliable, private connectivity solution that can make you stretch your service to span multiple locations. And that's, you know, from my perspective, the work that me and my extended team does is basically enables customers to build strong, reliable, performant connectivity solutions to connect specifically the private cloud and the public cloud, which is specifically Azure. The same technology can be used to connect public cloud to public cloud as well. So we provide connectivity as a means to basically enable customers to accomplish what they want to. And this could be due to multiple cases. You know, people want to use hybrid because they can't deploy the entire application in one location. It may be because of compliance requirements, or they may be using legacy hardware and some services or some tiers only run on certain legacy hardware. There are multiple factors that make it extremely hard to lift and shift an entire application from their premises into the cloud.
Yeah, and don't forget too, Ganesh, to mention, even though we are focused on Azure, for this particular podcast, the thing that kind of caused me to reach out to you was that we could finally talk publicly about ExpressRoute for O365.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. So one of the things that we are doing is building these connectivity solutions that are performant and reliable. Let's talk about what we have in Alieto ExpressRoute and talk about all the stuff that we're doing in the front. The first thing we started off was a site-to-site VPN solution. So this virtual private network, or a VNet that you create in Azure, can now have a site-to-site VPN gateway that basically connects to a VPN device, an edge router within the customer's network. And once they are connected using a secure IPsec tunnel, any virtual machine running in Azure can talk to any machine that's routable from the edge server on the customer's network. So this has been immensely popular. We have got about close to 30,000 odd deployments of the site-to-site VPN solution in Azure today across all our geos.
Wow.
When we started off this, you know, it was cool, it worked, but then truly in the spirit of cloud, you wanted simple connectivity that you could turn on and turn off. While this connection is long-lasting and does the job for, you know, real IT scenarios, it did not lend itself very well for prototyping and proof of concept, which is where you just wanted to set up an environment, play with it, have secure connectivity to it, and tear it down. And to enable such scenarios, we actually added point-to-site connectivity capabilities to our virtual network. So you would essentially VPN in into a virtual network, just the way you would VPN in into your corporate network to access corporate resources. One of our goals was to not have to install any special software to accomplish this. And we did that by using the Inbox VPN client that's built into all Windows clients and Windows servers. So all you need to do is download a configuration script that you run in your machine. And that configuration script makes your Inbox VPN client in a Windows machine point to this gateway that's running in the virtual network. That way, from your machine, and you could connect to this virtual network that you had in the cloud. The other cool thing that we did for that was that we used a protocol called Secure Sockets Tunneling Protocol, or SSTP. It's like an SSL VPN. So you could connect to the Azure cloud or the virtual network that you have in your Azure and subscription from any machine that's located anywhere. So you could be in a coffee shop with a laptop writing prototype code. You could just VPN in from your laptop from the coffee shop and connect to Azure, and you traverse NACs and firewalls through the path. Everything works fine.
Ganesh, just to be sure, so the pointer site requires a Windows client on one side, correct?
That's right. So today, the pointer site connectivity is limited to Windows client. It's pretty simple and easy to set up. You authenticate and you connect to the Azure environment, and you're good to develop prototype code or do tests or whatever you want to do with your connectivity to the cloud.
Hey Ganesh, I had a question about that point of site. So on that, is it required to have like a PKI infrastructure, or how do people typically use that? Because there's certificates involved here, right?
So yeah, we typically use certificates. We for a single virtual network, we typically allow up to 256 VPN clients to connect to it. We expect you or whoever is the administrator of the virtual network to upload a root certificate, a self-signed root certificate, into the Azure account, and you could create one child certificate for every user from that root certificate. And anyone who's got that certificate installed on that machine can actually use this VPN client, their Inbox VPN client, to connect to Azure.
Yeah, I think just so we make it clear to our audience, because this is the part that I bring, because I'm the support guy, right? Whenever something doesn't work, that's when I get called. Last time I remember looking at this, it actually is a requirement that you self-sign. If we do the
TA issued certificates.
Yeah, TA ones don't work, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, self-signed is a requirement. But yeah, that actually in a lot of ways makes it easier, Kale, right? Because you don't have to have a PKI infrastructure to make this work.
Yeah, I think the reason I asked the question is because I have a lot of customers who, big enterprises, who are like, well, we already have, CA and everything set up, so we should be able to use that, right? So I just want to make sure we call that out a little bit.
Yeah, I've been on that call
that
before.
May be something that we add to the platform soon, which is probably add AD-based authentication or something that's more similar to what they're used to. But if you look at the intent, this was put together primarily to help POC and dev test kind of scenarios where this was an easy way to get something working that's secure, a bunch of corporate policies. So in that spirit, yeah, this solves that problem, but yes, it is not really something that's got integration into the PKI infrastructure of the customer.
I guess if you think about it, if somebody is, and this may not be completely universal, I did PKI support for a little while, and that is non-trivial. And if you're serious enough to set up PKI, you probably have more than 256 users.
Yeah.
So...
And you'd probably look at something that, we can talk about next, which is Express Route.
Ganesh, before we go to Express Route, I want to just ask you something. So in a typical customer scenario, right, the customer is behind some sort of a proxy server. So all these machines at the customer site, to get to the internet, they go through a proxy server. Are there any special configuration changes that have to be done to accommodate this built-in VPN client to connect to the Azure point-to-site connection using a proxy server?
That's a great question. There's actually no need for any special configurations in the proxy. This is because of the fact that we use SSTP, Secure Sockets Tunneling Protocol. The SSL VPN connection that we create for this is just an SSL connection, so it looks like an HTTPS connection to the proxy. So the proxy permits HTTPS connections typically in all enterprise organizations.
Wow, that's really
so
that's
cool. No need for any special configuration.
Great, thank you. Right, you were talking about the next evolution of this, which is ExpressRoute.
Yes, so as I mentioned earlier, you know, both these technologies, the site-to-site VPN and point-to-site VPN, have been heavily used. A third of the people who use infrastructure services in Azure, when we started, were using this technology, and that number is just growing, by the week. And, you know, Evan can talk to you about all the nice support cases he handles for that. You know, as the scale of the customer deployment started growing in Azure, you realize that a VPN solution that traverses the internet, while being completely secure, may not be reliable enough to support, you know, enterprise-grade line of business applications that require strong SLAs and, you know, very high uptimes. So the, you know, site-to-site VPN and virtual networks are extremely secure, but the connectivity between the customer's edge and Azure happens over the public internet, which is a domain that no one really controls. No one knows what path your packet would take at any point in time, and that could change. There could be congestions upstream. So there are a lot of factors that could influence the performance of your connectivity between your premises and Azure over this site-to-site VPN case. People wanted a much more reliable connection that they trusted, and essentially some sort of a you know, mechanism that would make Azure truly look like a branch office in their environments, and that's where ExpressRoute comes in. So ExpressRoute is a service that basically enables you to build this private connection in partnership with a network service provider, a telco like an AT&T or a Verizon in the US, or a British Telecom, an Orange in Europe, or a Singtel or a Tata in APAC, or a Telstra in Australia. You know, we work with about 15-20 carriers, have about 15-20 edge sites through which customers can connect to the Microsoft environment. And this is, you know, something that customers are very comfortable with. A large enterprise typically uses a VPN provider to basically connect all the branch offices. Now, what we're doing with ExpressRoute is truly extending that network to connect to Azure, which means Azure is just another branch office in every practical sense from a networking perspective. It's the connectivity is secure and reliable, and it, you know, the packet from the customer's network into Azure takes a very reliable and predictable path, because the path is something that the service provider manages, sets up and manages for that specific customer. This is one model where customers can connect to Azure. And we also have edge sites to which customers can actually extend their connectivity to. These are typically colo sites with Equinix in most places in the US and around the world. And we have partnerships with Telecity and NextDC and so on. So these are colo facilities, large colo facilities, where customers can either run their private clouds or their data centers, or can extend their connectivity to from their traditional data centers, and you know, plug in a cable into the cloud exchanges and connect to us through the cloud exchanges. So this offers a very fat, reliable pipe, you know, up to 10 gigabits per second between the customer's network and Azure.
Ganesha, I got a little confused with the co-location option here. Now, if the you're saying if the customer's data center happens to be in one of these locations, is that what you mean?
No, the customer, if they already had their data center in that location, it's just about throwing a cable across from their cages in that data center to Microsoft cages. But if the customer is, let's say, in another building in the same metro, mm-hmm. they could lease an Ethernet connection from any of the local metro Ethernet providers and extend their connectivity from their buildings over
that edge connection,
the edge sites. And they could do it using a metro Ethernet provider or use one of our exchange providers. You know, we partner with Level 3 and Zayo and a few others in that category to offer Ethernet connectivity. So they would be able to wire connectivity directly from the customer's buildings all the way into Azure.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, Sajid, that I found has been really interesting about ExpressRoute is, one, and I'll echo what Ganesh was saying about reliable, you know, high-speed connections. We have the vast majority of my team's support volume is site-to-site VPNs, of which the vast majority of those are on-premises configuration things, or, you know, something goes wrong with the on-premises device or whatever. In ExpressRoute, we have most of our challenges come in when we're provisioning it, setting it up, like the customer just isn't quite sure how to do it, or, you know, they're doing something like, you know, a large number of routes that they want to advertise to us or something like that just kind of we hadn't anticipated. But almost exclusively, once they're up, I never hear from them again.
Which is good. Right.
Yeah. you know, versus site to site, right, we have some customers that, like, they just have a really bad device on premises, and we talk to them, like, once a month, every month. And that has not been the case with ExpressRoute historically once they get past the provisioning. And even provisioning these days is going much smoother than it used to.
There's a couple of things that you get with ExpressRoute, right? First is that we've built a highly redundant network, and we pair with all our service providers, connectivity providers, in a redundant fashion, so there's no single point of failure. Even if a router on either our side or the service provider's side or the customer side is down, there's a redundant path to carry that traffic. So that means there is absolutely no downtime for the end customer in case something goes wrong.
But Ganesh, what's the lead time? What's the process like? I mean, you know, when I hear of all these other carriers and whatnot, I get the impression it's going to take weeks and weeks to set up a connection here.
It again depends, right? So this is where it varies based on provider to provider and based on the customer situation. So if the customer actually happens to be using a VPN provider who's an existing partner with us, then I would assume that they already have their sites wired up. And it's just a matter of a small, you know, a little bit of paperwork and a small configuration update that the carrier does. The customer literally doesn't have to do anything. I've seen, you know, customers go from 0 to 100 in a week, and I've seen it drag on for a few months. And mostly the dragging on for months is based on how contracts are set up and the non-technical aspects of how people consume the service. So from a technical perspective, literally it takes seconds to minutes to configure connectivity. But adding the process overhead, your time may vary based on who the service provider is and what state of maturity connectivity is for that customer.
I think we've seen with, like, the network service providers where somebody already is in the network service provider's MPLS cloud, right? Those are, like, literally it's just signing the paperwork and it's really not much more than that. The IXPs can be more challenging potentially.
And from a billing perspective, how does that work? Is it something that can you turn it on or off, or do you keep it on all the time? And
we bill the service by the hour. You can technically turn it on and off, but these are kinds of services where you set it up once, you don't touch it after you turn it on, because it's a pipe that you provision to consume a whole bunch of services. So this is not typically the kind of service that you turn on and turn off, though you can technically do that.
So Ganesh, does when you provision this, because maybe our customers have experience provisioning like site-to-site VPN, so we set up a VNet, and we basically go in there and tell it whether we're on point-to-site or site-to-site, and then we can basically create a gateway and get that process started. Is it similar with ExpressRoute?
It's like the exact same process from a virtual network perspective. Before I get to that, there are a couple of cool things that, you know, you get with ExpressRoute that you don't get with site-to-site VPN. Site-to-site VPN primarily enables you to connect to virtual machines and cloud services that are deployed within virtual networks. So it's primarily limited to compute. Whereas with ExpressRoute, you get to connect to all Azure services through the pipe that you provision through the service provider. So it's not just limited to compute. And the experience for connecting your virtual machines or your compute instances to your premises through ExpressRoute, the initial setup process of creating a virtual network and the VPN gateway for that is identical. You would have to create an ExpressRoute circuit and link your ExpressRoute circuit to your virtual network. That's the extra step that you would have to do to basically make your virtual network routable between your premises and Azure.
And you were talking about these other, you know, this new web apps that I heard about that has hybrid connectivity built in. So that's one that would take advantage of ExpressRoute, right?
So pretty much all services, you know, whether you use storage or SQL databases or websites or anything for that matter, can be accessed through ExpressRoute. I think there is only one exception, which is, I believe, Visual Studio load testing. And that's a case where the service actually tries to reach into the customer's network, which, you know, some of them consider it to be a security vulnerability. So we blocked connectivity from that's initiated from the cloud into the customer's network. So that's the only service or the only scenario which is a subset of a service that we don't support through ExpressRoute. Pretty much everything else works through ExpressRoute. Now, this is the key part, because when we started designing ExpressRoute, we wanted to build a single connectivity solution that basically covers all Microsoft cloud services. We just started off with Azure, and we wanted to make sure that we could first cover all Azure services before we extended into other services like Office 365.
So Ganesh, so that was always in the plans, and that wasn't just something we decided to do because of the success with Azure? So that was always in the roadmap?
It was always our goal to have, as a customer, when someone purchases connectivity to the cloud or to Microsoft, the customer shouldn't be asked to buy a specific connection to Office, a specific connection to Azure, and so on. So our goal from day one has been to have a unified connectivity story across all Microsoft cloud services. It's just that we happen to be in the Azure team and we started off with Azure. You see Office 365 coming down next, and you'll see other services, get added to the mix as soon as we're done with Office.
Oh, that sounds like more volume for me over time. I need more people.
I hope you don't get stressed, because it's, even though the volume is going to increase, it's going to be stable enough that you don't have to field that many calls.
ExpressRoute of it, we actually have pretty steady, but I would say relative to the growth that I've seen, I don't think we're not on the same curve, which is great, because that would kill me. More services is just, it's a good thing. It's just a little scary.
And it's a pretty fast-growing service. We started off with two sites when we launched in May last year. I think three sites. It was Silicon Valley, Washington, D.C., and London. And we had three providers, AT&T, Equinix, and British Telecom, when we launched this service. And as of today, I think I counted 18 different locations around the world we offer this service in, with about 16 different partners around the world. So we've been kept busy, onboarding new sites and onboarding new partners. And with that, we bring in a lot of traffic into Azure. So we've been handling about a petabyte plus of traffic a month the last few months. And the traffic has been steadily growing within the network. So that's quite a bit of traffic moving into the cloud because of ExpressRoute.
Awesome.
I think last episode I asked this question, maybe the one before that. If in such a connectivity setup, if something doesn't work, what are the tools available to the on the customer side, on your side, to determine where the problem might be?
So well, we I'm have not... a very, and I Evan's the best person to talk about it, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, if Ganesh, if you don't mind, I'll jump in there, because there's good parts and bad parts, because this is coming out of his team. Is we do have some things that we don't expose to customers that would really make it easier for them to see what routes they're advertising and are the BGP sessions up and the like. But that stuff's coming. But today, from my side, I have full visibility into the routes the customer's advertising, which of their sessions are up, which of their VNets are connected to their circuit, all that kind of stuff. So I actually find ExpressRoute cases to be relatively easy to troubleshoot, because I can say, yep, you either are or not advertising this route, and if you're not, therefore that makes sense, you can't connect, or hey, I'm not getting any routes from you. All that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's actually pretty straightforward in general. We don't do quite as good a job as I think we should in the long run with exposing this stuff directly to the customer, so ideally they don't have to call me.
But it sounds like you're going to have somebody from the customer, somebody from the telco, and somebody from Microsoft on the call to figure this out, right?
Potentially, yeah. I will say that we've had pretty good success that we typically don't need the telcos, because they're just kind of enabling the path, right? We typically don't see them misconfigure things, because it's all automated on their side. Where we typically see it is on the customer side, they just didn't know or didn't do it. Actually, one of the most common things, it's kind of humorous, but I can completely see why people make the mistake, but we see people set it up and then they'll call and say, hey, I can't RDP into this server. And then we'll find out that two things are wrong. One, they don't have routing enabled from their workstation. It's not enabled to go to Azure through the ExpressRoute, so it just doesn't go there. And then the other thing is we find that they'll deploy custom images that don't have the firewall configured right. Or people will try and ping, right? And by default, the gallery images don't enable ping. And they're in a panic. I can't ping, I can't ping. Well, can you RDP? Yes. Okay, well, it's because ping's not enabled. Right? So we typically don't see the service providers in the middle. I mean, we do get some. But Ganesh and team have done a great job at setting this up, so that part tends to go very, very smoothly.
And we have a good relationship with all our partners that actually help. So if there's a potential issue that they are looking into, they typically notify us, and we get into a bridge with them and try to resolve any hardware issues or anything that arise as soon as possible with literally no interruption to the end customer.
Yeah, and that's actually something else. You know, when Ganesh calls it out, they actually do that without me, right? So the partner or Microsoft will detect something, and they'll go talk. The engineering team on Microsoft side will go talk to the partner completely behind the scenes. I might know about it, but I'm not involved. The customer's not involved. They fix it and resolve it, and a lot of times the customer doesn't even know.
Cool. And what's the SLA? Do we offer an SLA for the...
We offer an SLA of 99.9% connectivity uptime over the month, which is, you know, good in the sense that no one else offering any similar capability in their cloud platform offers an SLA for connectivity. So it is unique in the sense that we're actually offering an SLA for this service.
That's awesome. Well, Ganesh, this has been a wealth of information. I thank you again for, I know you had a long day. You've had a very long day. We just made it longer just now. But I appreciate all the insight you gave into hybrid connectivity. Cale, Evan, any more last questions for Ganesh?
No, this was great. It's great to be on a call with Ganesh where we're not trying to fight some problem.
I guess we'll do that next time.
Yeah, exactly. That's a separate conversation.
Yeah, thanks, Ganesh. This was good info. I think people will appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Great.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks again, Ganesh. Thanks, guys, for a lively discussion. Take care, then.
Bye. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcasts. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.